But it's all just, it's just all around the 24 elements. And Prabhupada explains that if we don't understand after all this knowledge, all this learning, if we don't understand that there's something beyond the body, something beyond the 24 elements, the 25th element, the soul, then that consciousness is still only on the level of animals, because they don't understand that they're more than their body. So, in spite of all the you could say hype around material education and science, then this is the function of the acharyas, and it's cut through. You know, it's all dressed up very nicely, the material science and education, but it's all kind of just like fluff. It doesn't amount to anything. So what it comes down to is animal consciousness, and this is what the acharyas are bold enough to say. And when I was coming here, there was a big advertisement for, I think it was Monash University, so, you know, saying basically saying, you know, progress doesn't accept answers, it questions answers. So, you know, they're propounding that they're making progress. And it's probably more significant in that advertisement was they had kind of like in the background, like a picture of a red planet. And it was supposedly, you know, meant to be Mars or something. So just kind of putting in the idea in people's head that, yeah, we're going to, with our progress in learning and education, we're going to reach Mars soon. And, you know, the moon, that was decades ago. Now we're going to reach for Mars, which is really just so misleading. If we actually accept Prabhupada's and the Vedic literature's teachings that no one can get to the moon planet, let alone the Mars planet. So, but this is the propaganda that people are told, that they're making progress in material life, and therefore they can be happy, and it's a false sense of security. And then on the, you know, the newspapers advertising a special report on our great city, Melbourne. And the people on the train reading these newspaper, they're the people that are just like ordinary workers going to work, slave away for 8 hours in the office. And so it's just an illusion that is created by materialists, that, you know, we're the enjoyers of this world and we live in such a great city, and just, you know, ignore all the sufferings that are there. So Prabhupada explains that we have to, you know, actual human knowledge is to understand this 25th element, the spirit soul. And it's very complex, it's a very deep subject matter. And it's explained in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita that within the body there's a spirit soul, and the body is changing, but we're not changing. And then Srimad Bhagavatam gets into advanced spiritual knowledge, because just understanding that we're not the body is just the beginning. And then Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining what are the activities of the soul, what is the, you know, what's the life of the soul, because the soul, we're a person. So after understanding who we actually are as a spirit soul, then what are our activities? Because we're not inactive, can never be inactive. So the activities of the soul, Bhagavatam explains, is bhakti, is offering devotion to the Lord. There's the devotee, there's the Lord, and the exchange of the transaction between them is bhakti. So this is the science that Bhagavatam is teaching us. And in this verse, Prabhupada's referring to a verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yoni Mahakrama. Any takers on the verse? Where do we find Yoni Mahakrama, the source of birth? Where do we go from us, no? Oh, I'm shocked. So, chapter 14. Verse 3. So Krishna says, Mama yoni mahakrama tasvim kaam titamyanam sambhava sarvam pranam tatomanti bhakta. The total material substance, which is what we're talking about in these few verses, called Brahman, is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharat. So this idea of the total material element is actually really, really something if you think about it. Because this idea of pradhan, or in other words, the total material existence. So we're not just talking about the earth planet, we're talking about all of the combined elements, earth, water, fire, etc. All of these elements all combined together from all the universes, all over the creation. And all in there, this is in an undifferentiated state. So Bhagavatam explains 10 subject matters, and first one being creation. So in Canto 2 we hear about the sub-creation, Visarga, but that's after when the universes are created, and then Lord Brahma, he does the rest of the work, he creates everything inside the universe. But this is even before that, this is before there's any Lord Brahmas, when the material elements are not even manifested. This is, you know, going way, way back into the eons of time. And now we see it here before us manifested. But this is even before any manifestation is the pradhan. So Prabhupada explains in this verse that such an amazing opening to this purport. He says that this is an explanation of the world. So, you know, so Bhagavad Gita sums up knowledge so succinctly. It's the essence of the Vedas and basically the essence of all knowledge. So just in a few short verses, you know, as Prabhupada says, we get an explanation of the whole world. Just like, okay, we have the whole material substance and all of the conditions, souls, get placed inside of that material substance, and they come out in different forms. So the example is given, if you haven't heard this example, then it's a good one to learn. The scorpion and the eggs. Hands up if you know the scorpion and the eggs example. So, it's very interesting. I didn't know this about scorpions. Don't really happen in Australia much. But scorpions lay their eggs in rice. I presume uncooked rice. For some reason, when I heard this example, I was thinking of cooked rice and baby scorpions coming out of cooked rice. But no, I think it would be too hot. So. Yeah, just, you know, uncooked rice. And then, so the baby scorpions appear out of the pile of rice. So you'd look at that and say, oh wow, the rice is giving birth to the scorpions. But that's not the case. The eggs were put there inside the rice by the mother scorpion. Every species of life, we have family life, and it's every species of life, it's, we take it so significant. Just like, you know, down to the insignificant ant, spot process, and, you know, outback Australia, there will be huge columns of termite mounds, and they just, they have their whole society there, and queen ant, and millions of work ants, and they have their friendships, and they're, you know, they're attracted to this ant and that ant, and they're working all day. But then, it, you know, it's, to us it's insignificant, like who cares about the life of an ant? But for them it's like they have the same attachments, the same anxieties, the same, you know, fears and concerns about their life. Are my children going to get enough sugar? But then it all gets finished when, you know, there's some types of lizard. I was reading about the thorny devil lizard. It just finds a trail of ants, and it just stands there and picks off the ants. Doesn't have to. And then so that's life finished for the ants. And so in the same way, we're very attached to our material life, but it's going to get finished at any moment. It's very insignificant. It was the mother scorpion that put the eggs in the rice. So the baby scorpions, they're not actually a product of the rice, they're a product of the mother, come from eggs. So in the same way, it appears that the spirit souls come out of the material substance, this pradhana. It appears that we are products of material nature, but we're not. The spirit souls were placed inside the material substance, material energy, by the Supreme Lord. And then we came out according to our karma in different forms. We came out, you know, some souls come out in animal bodies, some souls come out in tree and plant bodies, some souls come out in demigod bodies. So this is, as it says, the explanation of the world. And we see so much variety around us, all different species of life, 8,400 species, and all that pradhan is divided by the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance. And they mix everything up, the three modes. So Prabhupada says you multiply 3 by 3, you get 9. 9 by 9 is 81. And so in this way, with this mixing, and we get unlimited varieties in the material world. And then so... So this is the explanation of the world as explained in Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada explains one of the names, because the pradhan is also called the Mahatattva or the Mahat. And Krishna is also called, this is also one of the names of Krishna, Mahapadam. So he quotes one verse well-known verse in Bhagavatam, that this verse, this name comes from Mahaparam. Because if we take shelter of Krishna, then he's the shelter for this whole material existence. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can transcend and overcome this material existence. So it says in Bhagavatam, it's a bit of a tongue twister. Samashitaye parapalava pavam mahaparam punye shomaraya vivam budhe vatsa param 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 vyadhi param natesham. My writing on the train. It will flip. So basically that's where it's saying anyone who takes shelter of Krishna Murari, who's the enemy of the Mura demon, then their whole material existence becomes as small as the hoofing of a calf, Vatsapada. So, that would be great if all our anxiety and stuff could be reduced to the, if we could just step over it. So this is the, we need to actually take shelter of Krishna for that to happen. And I remember what I was going to say before. When the forms come out in the material world, when the spirit souls are placed inside the material substance, they come out in all these different forms. So generally in our material vision, we just see the different forms. And we see the cats and the dogs, see the trees, see the birds, see the fish. But this vision is actually in the mode of passion. So Krishna explains the vision of, if we have the vision of knowledge, then we'll see oneness everywhere. We'll see the same spirit soul divided everywhere. So in the mode of passion, Krishna says, that knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. So, but in the mode of goodness, says that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. So this is a test for us. We can know, am I seeing just the outer covering of the living entities, or am I seeing the spirit soul in every living entity? And to that degree, we can try to gauge which mode of nature we are situated in. And then it's only through this knowledge is only achieved by the assistance of a spiritual master and learning the Vedic literatures through their guidance. There's some, even in chapter 13 there's some very nice verses. See, this, of course, this Sankhya philosophy can seem a little bit more like, much more philosophical than other sections. But Krishna says that one who understands this philosophy concerning material nature, the living entity, and the interaction of the modes of nature is sure to attain liberation. He will not take birth here again, regardless of his present position. So this is what happens in the material nature. We're born again and again, ritual samsara, vatmini, the path of repeated birth and death. And after one life is finished, then we take birth and go through all the tribulation of another birth, and it's a repetitive cycle. But understanding this Sankhya philosophy from Kapiladeva helps us to transcend that and get out of the cycle of birth and death and reinstate ourselves as Krishna's servant. Hmm. So Prabhupada writes that, you know, this is the result of knowledge, like actual knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that the purpose of knowledge is to understand distinctly that the living entity has by chance fallen into this material existence. By his personal endeavour in association with authorities, saintly persons and the spiritual master, he has to understand his position and then revert to spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness by understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is explained by the personality of Godhead. Then it is certain that he will never come again into this material existence. He will be transferred into the spiritual world for a blissful, eternal life of knowledge. So this is the, you know, result of understanding this knowledge, transferring ourselves to spiritual existence. And also, Krishna explains that when a sensible man ceases to see different identities due to different material bodies, and he sees how beings are expanded everywhere, he attains to the Brahman conception. So, Prabhupada writes that when one can see that the various bodies of living entities arise due to the different desires of the individual soul and do not actually belong to the soul itself, one actually sees. So we have these eyes now, but they're not actually seeing, you know, until we're seeing spiritually, then they're not actually seeing. In the material conception of life, we find someone a demigod, someone a human being, a dog, a cat, etc. This is material vision, not actual vision. This material differentiation is due to a material conception of life. After the destruction of the material body, the spirit soul is one. The spirit soul, due to contact with material nature, gets different types of bodies. When one can see this, he attains spiritual vision, thus being freed from differentiations like man, animal, big, low, etc. One becomes purified in his consciousness and able to develop Krishna consciousness in his spiritual identity. So, you know, without understanding this knowledge that, you know, without seeing beyond the body, it's very difficult to develop real Krishna consciousness, real spiritual existence. When we get past the bodily conception, then we can start to develop real service to Krishna. And 14, 19. And Prabhupada emphasizes in later in chapter 14, the importance of undertaking this process under the guidance of a spiritual master. Krishna says, when one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So, just read some of the book of that. Prabhupada says, one can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from the proper souls. The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless. being in the grip of those modes. But when he can see his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in the full Krishna consciousness. So this is the should be our guiding principle when we're studying these sections, more philosophical and technical sections of Srimad Bhagavatam, that what are we going to do with this knowledge? That how's this going to help us in our spiritual Krishna consciousness? And understanding basically that we're not the body. And as Krishna says, when we understand this knowledge, when we're fixed in this knowledge, then we can transcend the three modes of nature. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. And thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. So we're reading about the creation and how all the living entities are born into that creation according to their past karma. And it's just like, it's really inconceivable, like how much karma we have from unlimited past lifetimes. And at the end of this creation, then all the souls get wound back into the body of Mahavishnu and are in a deep sleep for billions of years, and they again come out and they're put into bodies perfectly according to their past karma. So this is really this is the potency of the Lord. Especially in India, so many people claim to be God, but who can claim to have created the whole material nature? in the scriptures of the world, we have some brief description of creation, but you really get a deep understanding of it from the Vedic literatures, and really understand the vastness of it, and you actually find out really how great God is. And then when people start claiming you are God, then it becomes ridiculous. How can you claim to be God? And when you've studied Srimad Bhagavatam, to understand what that means to be God is to have created the whole material existence, and you're controlling every living entity in that creation, and you can put them into particular bodies precisely according to their karma, and then wind it all up again. And then this is just God's energies. It's not even directly Him doing it. So then this is another benefit of understanding spiritual knowledge, that we won't be misled by bogus philosophies and bogus people claiming to be Bhagavan. Yeah, or they'll say it indirectly. Sometimes I have some friends in followers of other so-called gurus, and it's quite obvious that they're really attached to their guru, and that's kind of good, to have some devotion. But really what's lacking is the knowledge, and therefore they're quite easily misled. They say, their guru is Bhagavan. And really they don't know what they're saying. When you understand what is actually Bhagavan. And then And then this is also very good to understand for devotees, because as this month, Kartik, we're celebrating Krishna's childhood pastimes. But our first understanding of Krishna is as this feature of Krishna, his Aishvarya aspect, his opulence as, you know, supreme creator of everything. And to think that he would just come under the control of his mother and his other residents of Vrindavan, it's very amazing. But this foundational understanding needs to be there very, very solidly, that Krishna is the creator of all these elements and the supreme controller, Nama Nisharam. So I'll just stop there and see if there's any comments or questions. Yes,
you just mentioned Darwin's theory completely.
Darwin's theory, hmm.
Completely smashed.
Yeah, there's the Vedic evolution, isn't it? As Prabhupada explains. You know, from the lower species up to the higher species, there's an evolution of consciousness. Yeah. Anything else? Yes.
Thank you. This exercise on the thing that's saying about Mars and people getting on to Mars and
about Mars, what?
You're saying about people getting on to Mars and
they
are reaching Mars. So could you please emphasize on that? Because you refute the theory that an astronaut has landed on.
It's just, you know, America and Russia started that whole space race in the Cold War, and like it's really, I think they're reviving it. You know, it seems like Russia and America aren't very good friends at the moment. You know, like back then they were like, yeah, we're going to go to the moon. It was like the space race. Like, yeah, we built this rocket and we built this spaceship and cosmonauts and astronauts and sending rockets out into orbit. But for the common person, how can we verify that? Like, it's just all put out there in the media. But we have no way of actually verifying, did that spaceship land on the moon? But we can verify that they didn't from the Vedic literature, because, you know, in the, I guess, geography of the universe, the moon is actually above the sun, even though like the sun is further away. How do I explain? If you have like a vertical axis in the universe, then the moon is higher than the sun, but on a horizontal axis, then the sun is like much further away on the outer of the universe. And also the other argument Prabhupada gives that you have to be qualified to enter that atmosphere of the moon planet or the or Mars. They're high planets, so they're heavenly planets. And it's like Australia. We have great immigration laws. We don't just let anyone in. You can't just come here. You can't just land on our shores and come in. You have to have some qualification. You have to have so much money in your bank account. You have to have a good qualification. You have to have skills before Australia will accept you. And any country who has some kind of rules like that, regulations, that you can't just enter into another country, there's a visa process and everything. So, in a similar way, there's that kind of system in other planets that we're placed on the Earth planet because of our karma. And you can't reach the moon planet unless you have the appropriate karma, the good karma, to be situated on that planet. So it's just folly. It's just, you know, it has no meaning. There's research of the scientists, like, I think, you know, since I was young, I was interested in, like, space and all this stuff. And many of you read reports of NASA and stuff, it's like, yeah, by 2030 we'll have someone on the Mars, and it's always in a couple of decades' time. So then a few decades pass and everyone's forgotten about their promise. And never goes as expected. I think one of the European missions, you know, crash landed on Mars. So it's just like dangling a carrot in front of us, saying, yeah, we're going to make progress. Once we destroy this planet, we'll have somewhere else to go. You know, like, why not just live peacefully here, live in harmony with nature, be happy here, and then get out of into the universe, you know, playing games, trying to go somewhere else. But no, they... At least I'm certain they didn't go to the moon. They just... And I think it's come out in recent times that people involved in that project in the 60s said, yeah, it was just a whole Hollywood get up, like setting up whole camera scenes in the desert somewhere in America. And there's a whole bunch of inconsistencies in the footage and so on. Sometimes devotees have to, you know, we're going against the grain of accepted thought, or so devotees have to be brave enough to do that. we don't accept a lot of what materialists say. So devotees have to be fixed up enough in the knowledge of Bhagavatam to be comfortable with that, not be shaken by so much disapproval from materialists and so on. And actually, if we have the opportunity to try to explain to people what is the actual knowledge. Yeah. Yes,
sir. On that point, Yudhipada is very right. So many inconsistencies. A couple of months back, I had the chance of going to Houston. I saw a big spacecraft there.
You went to Houston?
Yeah, Houston.
Oh, okay.
A month back. Big aircraft, say, area of 10 miles, 10 square miles at least, NASA.
Oh.
National Aeronautics Specialist.
Launch.
They can never reach moon. Moon is too far out.
Mm.
You go vertical axis.
Mm.
Prabhupada's claim is very right, you know.
Mm.
They never reach the moon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Area 51 in the US.
Yeah.
Something
called Area 51. Oh, Area 51, yeah. I don't know exactly what it is, but... Yeah.
You have good qualifications to reach moon.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of piety. No one's doing any pious activity now.
There's no bhakti there at all.
Yeah. There's a lot of cheating and, you know, going on. Like the world situation, it's just cats and dogs fighting, and they'll do anything to get one up on their so-called enemies. And, but this is an important point, that we have to be really fixed in the knowledge and not be afraid, not really afraid to preach. Say that no, this material advancement is not advancement, it's just animal consciousness. And if you don't understand your spiritual position, then your life is wasted. So, I guess, I don't know, we just want to fit in. That's kind of a natural feeling that we just want to fit in with people. But you have to show people an alternative as well. Yeah. So I'll just leave it there. Any, Kantra Shivan Bhagavatam Ki. Shilabhavapada Ki. Jai. Jai Gaur Premanandini.